Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Interior Alaska Regional Native Corporation Doyon has signed an oil and gas exploration agreement with Hillcorp. The deal will allow Houston-based Hillcorp, a privately held company, to conduct aerial gravity and seismic surveys and potentially drill exploration wells on 1.6 million acres in the Yukon Flats region where Doyon owns mineral rights. The area has been the focus of oil and gas exploration, including work by Exxon and ARCO, dating back 50 years. While noting that no wells have been drilled, Doyon President and CEO Aaron Schutt says more recent work also points to the area's potential.
We did a couple seismic programs at Stevens Village. We've done soil sampling. And the USGS also did some work in the early 2000s that at the time predicted there is likely to be oil and gas in the basin. So that's where the interest comes from, is the knowledge about the actual rocks.
The four exploration areas covered by the agreement with Hillcorp are surrounded by the Yukon Flats National Wildlife Refuge and are important to subsistence for residents of the native communities of Fort Yukon, Birch Creek, Beaver, and Stevens Village. Schutt says the agreement incorporates means to balance exploration with subsistence.
The ability to talk to them about when and where their activities are, minimizing the amount of impact on the land as much as we can. Coordinating with the local village corporation and tribal groups is important as well, so we've structured that into our deals to have the ability to give that feedback.
Schutt says the agreement also has local hire and contracting provisions, but only initially provides the native corporation what he refers to as a modest amount of money.
We'd rather have these companies put their investment in the ground and then both reap the benefits if there's success. So really for us, the money will really come if they find oil and or gas.
No one from Hillcorp was at a Monday press conference in Fairbanks to announce the agreement, and company officials could not be reached for comment. In a Doyon press release, Hillcorp President and CEO David Wilkins cites past experience working with the company in Cook Inlet and on the North Slope and describes the new partnership as a, quote, opportunity for their shareholders and the state, unquote. Referring to Hillcorp's growing presence in Alaska, including its proposed acquisition of BP's Alaska operations, Schutt tried to answer why they're interested in the Yukon Flats.
Obviously, they've made quite a commitment to Alaska. And part of a commitment to a long term is when you have a mature oil field, if you want to have continued production in an area, then you've got to do some exploration as well. So we're pretty excited that they chose our part of the world to do their exploration in.
The Yukon Flats Exploration Agreement follows years of work Doyon spent looking for oil and gas on state-leased lands in the Nenana and Minto basins. That effort did not reveal a commercially viable reservoir, but Schutt says Doyon learned a lot about the exploration process. Aerial exploration work in the Yukon Flats could begin as early as next summer. The Fairbanks City Council chambers were filled last night with patrons of a local bar whose liquor license was at risk. Last week, the council voted against the state renewing the beverage dispensing license for the Spur, which has a reputation for violence and police callouts. As KUEC's Robin reports, the council last night decided to reconsider its decision.
The Spur is a large country dance bar on the corner of the two biggest streets in Fairbanks and attracts a majority of its patrons from nearby Fort Wainwright. In the past year, there were 89 police contacts at that location, straining city resources. For a local government to protest a license renewal is rare, and last night the council reconsidered its previous vote and invited the owners of the bar to come in and comment. Jory Clausen manages the bar with her husband, J.D. Clausen, and co-owner Nicholas Nyquist. The group bought the bar in March 2018. The bar was known before that as Kodiak Jack's and had such a bad reputation that Fort Wainwright's garrison commander forbade soldiers from going there. Jory Clausen says they have extensively renovated the building and the business model.
We have done a very good job on trying to change the stereotype of that address.
Clausen says the business has increased security staff, trained them in patron safety measures, and now will secure the parking lot where many police calls occur.
We actually just recently purchased new cameras, 32 new cameras.
Several members of the public, like Rachel Hanks, commented in support of the bar's license renewal.
It is quite different than it was when it was Kodiak Jack's. People feel a lot safer. I feel safer as a female.
The discussion swayed the council, which voted 5-1, to not protest the license renewal. The renewal will now go to the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office for the State Licensing Board's next meeting in January. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Also last night, the council voted down taxing of vaping products. Council member Aaron Gibson had proposed adding vaping products to the existing tobacco tax.
Let's not be fooled. This is big business. This is Walmart. This is Holiday. I mean, all the box stores are selling this right next to their regular cigarettes. This is big tobacco.
Gibson noted that the Matanuska Susitna Borough levies a 55% retail tax on vaping products and that the Fairbanks tax would have been 8% on wholesale purchases. Council member David Prue says he was not swayed by testimony from business owners about how much healthier vaping products are than cigarettes, but took an economic perspective on the vape tax proposal.
I'm not here to debate safety. We're here to look at a revenue stream if we're going to tax it. We can tax anything we want. And I look at this and I say to myself, economically, it's not going to do anything. So why are we doing it?
Recent reports of increased teen vaping and the effect a vice tax might have were discussed, but Councilmember Jerry Cleworth distilled the debate to a simple question.
To me, it's not a matter of health or anything else. It's a matter of consistency in our code.
The council vote on the taxation of vaping products was 3-3, with Mayor Jim Matherly breaking the tie, joining council members Prues, Shoshana Kuhn, and June Rogers in voting against the vape tax measure. The Trans-Alaska Pipeline has hit another milestone. Pipeline operator Alyeska says the 18 billionth barrel of North Slope crude entered the line at Prudhoe Bay December 6th for the 800-mile trip to the tanker terminal in Valdez. A hiker survived being fully buried by an avalanche on Anchorage's popular Flat Top Mountain. Alaska Public Media reports that the man was able to kick his legs free and was spotted and rescued. According to a report by the Chugach National Forest Avalanche Information Center, the hiker, who has not been publicly identified, was alone Saturday when he was caught in the slide and believed to have been buried for as long as an hour, but able to breathe because of air gaps in the avalanche debris around him. The rescuer, avid hiker Alex Kuprienko, says he was looking up at the avalanche debris and saw the man's legs.
That's why it's a miracle, first of all, that he survived there for so long and didn't give up, and that it was just me looking in the right spot at exactly the right time.
Kuprienko says he rushed to the spot and started digging toward the man's head.
So the snow was really set up, icy snow. And all I had was my fingers, basically, that I was kind of clawing at the snow, trying to break it. And I kind of had this thought that maybe I should, you know, get my gloves out. But then I thought, well, that guy down there, he feels much worse than I do at this point. So I just kept kind of digging.
Kuprienko says the man's skin was so cold that the snow had stopped melting on it, and he seemed lethargic. He says he hugged him, shielded him from gusting winds, called 911, and then walked him down the mountain where paramedics checked him out. Kuprienko says he then drove the man home, noting that the rescue was all about being in the right place at the right time.
I'd like to think that anyone in my place would do the same exact thing. Maybe not without freaking out or something, but, you know, they would still figure out that they need to dig the guy out, basically. So I've been thinking about it. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to think about it. I mean, I was just super glad that he was alive when I found him.
Kuprienko says he hopes news of the rescue will encourage people to seek avalanche safety training and to be more vigilant while traveling in the mountains. I'm Dan Bross.